Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
I don't know about you, but I love getting up in the morning and starting my day just having some time with God, opening the Bible, letting God speak to me through His Word, praying, listening to God, just hearing from Him, pouring out my heart to Him. I love taking time with God early in the morning before I look at my to-do list, before my brain starts running with all the things I have to do when I jet off in my day. It's just good to kind of just align myself and get calibrated with what God wants to do. And a few weeks ago, I noticed that I was waking up as the sun was waking up, and it's been great, but these last few weeks, the sun is not up yet. It's still dark, and I hate it, and it's going down earlier at night. How many have noticed that too? It's getting dark way too early. Give me the sun. Give me as much sun as we can get, but there's something about it, and I've noticed these past few days, as the sun comes up, it just begins to make the whole landscape outside look different. What was once just kind of dark, gloomy, you just see outlines, all of a sudden you can see the fine details, the colors and everything, and how the sun, it just produces a brand new day, and it transforms the landscape. And this morning, we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture that refers to Jesus as the morning light, as the sun coming up, breaking the horizon. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. It's actually a prophecy about the birth of Jesus, what would happen when Christ comes. And here's the thing, when Jesus came to planet Earth 2,000 years ago, He totally transformed the landscape of everything and created a brand new day for us. And as we read this short passage, we're going to see four things that Jesus does, four things that He brings on the scene, four things that He wants to produce in our lives. And I believe it's not just something that He did theologically, spiritually for all Christians, but it is something that He wants to do personally for you in your everyday life. Every morning when you get up, God wants to bring these four things and make them brand new in your life. Do you realize it was about a year ago this time that we had the total solar eclipse in Casper? How many remember that? Was that cool or what? What happened is that the moon passed in front of the sun and it obscured the light. And there are so many times I find in our own lives, we allow problems, we allow people, we allow situations, we allow things in life to eclipse the Son of God. We allow things to block out the light of Jesus. And my prayer this morning, that if something is eclipsing Christ in your life, if something is blocking out the work that He wants to do, that you would recognize it today. And you would say, God, I want You to take it away. I want You to give me a breakthrough of the morning light of Jesus in my life. For those of you who are with us for the first time, and maybe you're not a Christian, you've kind of been wondering, searching, what does it mean to be a Christian? You picked a great Sunday to be with us, because we're going to be talking about that, what it means to be a follower of Christ. So let's take a look in Luke chapter 1, verse 78. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. And it says, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light, referring to Jesus, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us into the path of peace. Pray with me. Father God, I come to You today and I pray that we would not let anything eclipse You, that we would not exclude You from our day-to-day activity, but open our minds as to how You want to break into our lives and give us all that You have, all that You desire us to have. Be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On the back of your bulletins, there is a sermon section, a place that you can take notes if you'd like to take notes this morning. As we look at these four things that Jesus produces in us, the first thing is righteousness. The first thing that Jesus produces is righteousness. He produces his goodness, his justice, his virtue within inside of us. That's the first thing. It talks in verse 79 about sitting in darkness. Darkness many times is a metaphor for sin, for evil, for wickedness, and righteousness is characterized by light. And so when Jesus breaks in, the first thing he does is he brings righteousness to us. You see, when you're in the dark, you can't see. How many have fallen or stubbed your toe or hurt yourself because it was dark and you couldn't see? Many of us have. And you see, when we walk in sin, we're walking in darkness. We fall, we stumble, we hurt ourselves. When we continue to live a life outside of the standards of God, living a life that doesn't line up with God's purity, with God's holiness, it will hurt us, it will hurt our families, it will hurt the people that are around us. That's how sin is like darkness. Another way it's like darkness is that darkness conceals things. You don't see it in totality. You only see it in part or maybe not at all. And sin hides things. It deceives us. It paints a picture of something that is, but it's not really that way. And so we don't want to hide things. If we want righteousness, we want an openness with God, not keeping anything secret. The last thing about darkness is that it's frightening. As a kid, I remember playing the game Ghosts in the Graveyard. How many of you ever played that game, Ghosts in the Graveyard? Someone's it, you walk around a house or a building or something, and the goal is to get all the way around before the ghost gets you, and then when a ghost gets you, you become a ghost, and you know it just narrows down. You start out with maybe 15, 20 people, and by the time you're done, you know, like you're one of the last ones out there, and you know there's a bunch of people waiting out there, and it's scary. Have you ever played Ghosts in the Graveyard in the daytime? Why? It doesn't have the same effect. It's not scary. It's not frightening. And here's the thing. Sin, when you realize what it does to you, it's scary, not in a good way, but it's horrifying. It's terrifying. Sin is like a monster. Years ago, Skillet, the Christian music group, wrote a song called Monster, talking how sin is like a monster and it lives inside of us. Because of Adam and Eve and the fall in the Garden of Eden, sin lives inside of us. And this is what they said in their lyrics. It says, "The secret side of me, I never let you see. I keep it caged, but I can't control it. So stay away from me. The beast is ugly. I feel the rage and I just can't hold it. It's scratching on the walls, in the closet, in the halls. It comes awake and I can't control it. Hiding under the bed, in my body, in my head. Why won't somebody come and save me from this? Make it end. I feel it deep within. It's just beneath the skin. I must confess that I feel like a monster." When humankind fell, sin made us all monsters. You look at humanity, you look at some of the horrible things, both that people do personally or nations do to each other, genocide, the Holocaust, whatever it might be. We're monsters. And but the grace of God, there go you and I. And you see, we need somebody to save us, and that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Jesus came to save us from the worst part of how it affects us. Because here's the thing, you and I were originally created in the image of God. When we sinned, we lost that. It was distorted, it was marred. Jesus came to return the image of God, the righteousness of God, the purity of God to our lives. We all deserve death. How many know that it's good to put monsters to death? You want to put those vampires, and there's where, I mean, you watch those horror films, it's all about putting the monsters to death. Hey, sin needs to be put to death in our lives. sin, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus, who was 100% pure, sinless, Jesus died. He took our death penalty. And in the process, he wants to give us life. And now, you and I need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You need to die to what you want. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily to myself, to my desires, because there is a monster that's inside of us. And if we do not surrender to the control of the Holy Spirit, and we walk in the flesh and we don't walk in the Spirit, the monster of sin will rule and reign and wreak more havoc in our lives than Frankenstein. And so Jesus, every day, he wants to bring righteousness, God's purity, God's love, God's power, and he wants to transform us. Some of us, we struggle with habits, we struggle with addictions, we struggle with temptations. Jesus wants to give us the power to overcome them. The Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are dead to sin and alive to God. Now, some of you say, well, man, it's not working too well in my life. Let me ask you this. If we have two dogs in a dog fight, a white dog and a black dog, and we feed the black dog and starve the white dog, which dog is going to win? The black dog, unless the black dog is a Chihuahua and the white dog is an albino Rottweiler, okay? Now, all things being equal, though, the dog that you feed is going to win. And here's the thing. Some of us, we're feeding the dog of flesh, the monster of flesh. We're not taking time with Christ. We're not reading the Word. We're not listening to Jesus. When he convicts us of something, we're not dealing with it. And instead of cooperating with the Spirit of God and feeding our spirit man, worshiping him throughout the day, meditating on his promises and his Word, we're just filling ourselves with junk and we're thinking about self and we're not living a life that's surrendered to Jesus. And if you feed the monster part of you, you will not experience the Son of God breaking through in your life in purity. And so the first thing Jesus wants to do is he's speaking to us. That's part of the thing. And by prayer time, it's God, show me, is there anything in my life that doesn't please you? Is there anything in my life that I need to apologize for? Is there anyone I've wronged that I need to go and make it right with? God, is there anything, any sin that I need to confess to you? Because here's the thing. If God speaks to me and convicts me of something, but I ignore him, I'm hardening my heart. And you give it enough time, and a hard heart will turn you away from God. I was reading this morning in my devotions in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, and it talked to children of Israel. It says, God spoke to them, but they wouldn't listen to his voice. They wouldn't turn from their sin, and they hardened their heart in the wilderness. And as a result, they missed out on the promised land, what God had for them. Jesus wants to speak to us about righteousness, about character, about his values, about his ways in our life. And we need to be open to that. When he speaks, we need to say, okay, God, I hear that. I'll take care of it. I'm not going to let sin sit in my life. That's the first thing, because here's the thing. All the other things, that three things that God wants to break in your life are all dependent on are we right with him. And so the righteousness of God is the first thing that Jesus wants to produce in our lives. Number two this morning. Number two, direction and action. Direction and action. Luke 1:79, it says, to give light to those who sit in darkness. This portion of picture just shows people sitting around in darkness. I want you to think of this room being in complete darkness and you're just sitting in darkness doing nothing. Doesn't that sound fun? You sit here the entire day in this dark room doing nothing. And yet that's really what sin does to us. Sin it steals the adventure away from life. You want an adventure, then you live all out with God. God wants to give you direction and action in his life. How many of you have ever been impressed by God to go up to someone and ask to pray for them? How many have ever done that before? Is that exciting? I mean, that'll get you racing a little bit. And you pray, and when they're healed, I've seen it. When someone's healed, man, that's really exciting. or God prompts you to invite someone to church. God prompts you to witness to someone, to share your testimony, what God has done in your life. God prompts you to call someone, to text someone, and they say, man, I needed that. I was going through a rough time. Heard a story a while back about how someone, they called this phone number. And they were going through a really difficult time. And this evangelist, he was traveling on the road and he's filling his car up with gas. And the phone rings and it rings. And he felt God say, go answer the phone. So he picks up the phone and it's an operator and says, would you accept this call from so-and-so? And I was like, well, I guess so. And the person says, is Ken Gobb there? And he says, yeah, this is Ken Gobb. And the person just starts telling him they had heard Ken on a TV show. They saw his ministry. And this person was going to commit suicide. And this person was calling out to God and said, God, if you really care, then help me get in contact with Ken Gobb. And all of a sudden, numbers started to come into this lady's mind. And she dialed the phone number. And she said, "What? So?" And that's how I got your phone number. And he said, lady, I am 5 hours from home out in the middle of the interstate at a truck stop on a payphone. You see, what would have happened if Ken would have said, man, I'm not going to pick up that call. God prompted him to go pick up that phone call. That lady's life was spared because Ken listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And friends, God wants you and I, he wants to speak to us. He wants to break forth his direction and his action in our life. And as we do, we will see the supernatural. It tells us in John chapter 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also and greater works than these. Say greater with me. Because I go to my Father. Jesus said, you will do greater works than I did. Now, I believe that means greater in number, not in quality, because you really can't get greater than raising someone from the dead. Right? That's about as good as it gets. But here's the thing. Jesus spent 3.5 years on the planet, and God, the Father, took him to heaven. You and I, we live here 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. As the body of Jesus still on the planet, God wants to empower us to do great things, to do the supernatural, to pray for the sick and to see them healed, to pick up phone calls and people to be delivered from suicide. God wants to use you and me in a powerful way if we will just let Jesus break into our lives and not be so busy. Because sometimes God prompts us, well, I don't have time for that. I can't take that phone call. I can't talk to that person. Or we allow fear to eclipse the prompting of God in our life. What if I fail? What if I don't know what to say? What if they make fun of me? What if I pray and they get worse? When we let fear or busyness keep us from being used of God, we miss out on Jesus breaking into our lives and giving us an adventure. God wants to give you direction. God wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you meaning. Some of you say, I don't know what to do. I've been praying. I've been seeking God. I feel like he's not talking to me. Just take the next step. If God opens a door, then walk through it. Take the next step. You see, God really tells us what is happening 20 years down the road. He doesn't show you 20 miles down the road. He says, the steps of a righteous person are ordered of God. When I say do this, then you pray for that person. You make that phone call. You visit that person. You text that person. There's times in my devotions in the morning, and I feel God say, I want you to text so-and-so. And he gives me a word for them, and so I'll text them to my devotions. Or maybe he says, call someone, so I'll send an email to myself. Call so-and-so today. God wants to give you direction in your life. If you simply say, Jesus, here I am. I yield this day to you. I give this day. I partner with your Holy Spirit. Let's work together. Righteousness, direction, and action, those are things Jesus wants to produce in our lives. The third thing that Jesus wants to give us is life. He wants to give us life, and that entails vitality, joy, and strength. It says in Luke 1, 78 to 79, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. to give light to those who sit in the shadow of death. The opposite of life is death. And people who do not have Christ are living in death. They exist, but they're not alive. In Jesus' life, he said so himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he goes on to say, I came to give you life and that you would have it more abundantly. That word abundantly means full and overflowing. And there are so many people today that are walking around in depression, in discouragement. They're walking around just so down in the dumps. And Jesus says, I came to give you life, to give you an overflowing life, an abundant life. Now, that doesn't mean you never have any problems. Because the truth is, you got problems, I got problems, all of God's children got problems. Okay? Life is hard. Parents, one of the biggest things you need to teach your kids is that life is hard. Life is not a cakewalk. Because if they think life should be perfect, then you know what's going to happen? When bad things happen, and bad things will happen, then they blame God. But here's the thing. Life is hard, but God is good, and he's all-powerful, and he'll give you the power and the strength to walk through those difficult times. David said about the good shepherd, when he was writing about the Lord, he says, the Lord's my shepherd, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No matter how dark my life may be, I'm going to trust in God, and he restores my soul. He gives me vitality. He gives me the strength to go into battle. He gives me joy. He is with me. His goodness and his mercy, they follow me all the days of my life. And God wants to give you life. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know if there's a cloud over your head or maybe a mountain that you're carrying. But Jesus says, I want to carry it for you. I am life. I want to break through with my strength. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You say, Craig, you don't know how bad my situation is. What's our theme for 2018? Preach it this morning. What is it? God defies the odds. It doesn't matter how difficult, how bad your situation is. All things are possible with God. God defies the odds. Jesus wants you to bring your cares, your problems, your situations, and say, God, I let go of control. It's yours. You take it, and I'm just going to trust you. You see, when you trust God, then you can get strength. I'm not walking by sight. I'm going to walk by faith is a word we heard a few moments ago in service. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm not going to trust what I see. I'm believing that God is working even under the radar, and he's going to take care of me. Let me ask you this. Does God love you? How many think God loves you? Raise your hand. How many have ever doubted God's love? Be honest. How many have ever doubted God's love? My hand's up. God gave his son. Jesus died on the cross for you. We never have to doubt the love and the goodness of God. So no matter how dark it is, realize Jesus has already walked through the darkest thing you could ever walk through. He walked not just through the valley of the shadow of death. He walked through death for us. He was separated from the Father so that you and I, some of you say, I pray and I don't sense anything. I feel like I'm dead to God. There's a numbness in my spirit. Jesus says, don't walk by what you see. Walk by faith. I died on the cross. And if you've accepted me in your life, I am in you. I love you. I'm your good shepherd. I'm taking care of you. Draw strength. Draw hope. Draw encouragement. Draw vitality, draw life from me, no matter how dead things seem in your life. Jesus wants to break through life into your day. He wants to break his direction and action. He wants to break his righteousness. The last thing Jesus wants to break through in our day concerning is peace. There's a blank there in your notes. I know some of you are going to. Life comes from community with Christ and his family. Life comes from community. How many have ever heard the Bible verse? It's in Psalm 92, 12. The righteous will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You ever heard that? Cedars in Lebanon? Cedar trees, the kind that they used to build Solomon's temple, were 47 feet around. That's a big tree. They were over 100 feet tall. And it says the righteous, when Jesus breaks in your life, he makes you like a cedar tree. He makes you big and he makes you strong. But there's an interesting thing about cedar trees. In the 1600s, an explorer by the name of William Lithgow, he went and visited those cedars of Lebanon. And he noticed that all the branches extending out were intertwined with other trees. You see, the strength of the cedar isn't only in the fact that it's rooted and that it's big and tall and strong, but it's connected to all the other trees. And so you and I need a community with Jesus, an intimacy and a fellowship with Jesus, but also with the body of Christ, because that community makes us strong and gives us life. That's why you need to be in a life group. Because we share the struggles, we share the difficulties we're going through, and we pray for each other, and we're there for each other, and we call each other through the week, and we text each other through the week. And how you doing? It's a community. And that community makes you strong and gives you life. All right, point for number four. Now we're ready for that. Peace. God wants to give you peace. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to guide us to the path of peace. Your day may be filled with stress, anxiety, fear, pressure, but Jesus said he guides you into the path of peace. Some of you students are going to a new school year, maybe even a new school. Maybe you're heading off for college. And there's a little bit of anxiety there. Maybe you're starting a new job. Maybe there's a little bit of anxiety. Maybe things fell through for you. You had a plan and the bottom just fell out of it and you have anxiety. God, what am I going to do? Some of you maybe lost your job and you say, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And you feel the stress. You feel the fear. Let Jesus guide you into his path of peace. It doesn't matter how bad things are. Because God defies the odds. He defies the odds. I want to close with this final verse. It's found in Isaiah 58, verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. What is your light? Really, who is your light? It's Jesus. When you say, Jesus, be my morning light, break into my life, then your light, Jesus, will be like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of God will be your rear guard. A rear guard is someone who's behind you protecting your backside from the danger you can't see. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really good thing. How many want to be healed speedily? You want the righteousness of God. You want there to be lights around you, not walking in darkness, and you want God to protect your backside. Raise your hand. That's a good thing to have in your life. And it happens when Jesus is your morning light. What do you need God to do in your life this morning? Some of you, you need him to defeat the monster of sin. Some of you, there is a habit, there's an addiction, there's some temptation you keep falling into over and over and over and over. And you say, God, I need freedom. There's something that weighs you down. You just kick yourself. Every time you do it, you feel you've got no power. God wants to set you free today. There are people in this congregation that God has set free from alcohol. God has set them free from drugs. He set them free from tobacco. He set them free from swearing. He set them free from bitterness. God can set you free from any monster of wickedness that is in your life that you feel has a control on you. God can set you free because God defies the odds. Jesus proved that when he rose again from the grave, that he conquered death. He conquered sin and has no victory over him. He'll break through righteousness in your life. Some of you this morning, You need God to give you direction and action. You're seeking for purpose. You're seeking for meaning. You're seeking for God's will. You need to hear from you and say, God, show me. I want a greater anointing. I want you to work more in my life. Keep seeking him. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just take that little step. When God gives you a prompting, when the Holy Spirit nudges you, obey that nudge. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged in doing well. In due season, you'll reap a harvest. Some of you today, you need life. You need God's joy, his strength, his vitality. Because you really feel dead right now. You feel numb. You pray to God and it feels like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and flying back down. And you say, God, where are you? And you need a breakthrough of life. Some of you need a breakthrough of peace. Maybe some of you, everything's perfect in your life and you're still worried because now it might all fall apart. It's going too good. I know some people, they're always stressed out no matter how good or bad it is because they're focusing on the negative or what could happen. Did you know that faith and fear are very similar? Because fear is believing something unseen will happen, and faith is believing something unseen will happen. They're both believing something unseen will happen. One just focuses on God, and one says, God's not with me. I got to handle this on my own, and I'm in deep weeds. It's going to fall apart. You choose today whether to be a person of faith or a person of fear.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.